For the second week running, it can't be allowed to die. Someone somewhere has got to sort it out. Bury fans, we still got you. This is the Totally Football League Show. There's a Bury FC update on the way. We'll talk to Accrington Stanley owner Andy Holt on how he'd scrap the fit and proper persons test. Welcome to Wednesdays. It's Wednesdays, everyone. It's me, Caroline Barker. And like all good Wednesdays, we've an offer on ex-footballers. Two for one, he's the midfield dynamo with more clubs in his arsenal than we care to mention, Adrian Clarke. Although we're not talking about Arsenal because he's a little bit angry about the departure of someone who shall remain nameless. Also, he scored on the journalistic front this week. All the gear and an idea. He's only gone and recorded his own interview on his phone and it worked. Sam Parkins here. Congratulations, Sam.
Thank you.
That was a little bit condescending, but congratulations again. And from a bolt-on to the proceedings, poor. From William Hill, it's Joe Crilly.
Hello.
Fortunes looking better for Bolton this week?
Still very much as you were with regards to the takeover. So, no.
Oh, well, Adrian's brought some tissues in to blow his nose, but also if you need dabbing of the eyes to happen.
I think I might need them, yeah.
Yeah, it's all right. Well, we're not laughing about Bolton because it is blooming awful.
Caroline, I didn't get to say hello.
Hello.
Hi.
You know why? Because I was just going to have a VAR chat because you and I are the only ones in this room, I think, looking around, that have been and experienced the VAR red and green
buttons.
The most
important people.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, clearly that's producer Abby. And the reason for bringing it up, because how does that relate to Football League? I have a concern, and you can tell me if I'm right to be concerned. So we went in and we've seen the VAR room and seen how it's all going to work. So there's going to be the VAR official for every Premier League game. Is that going to pull good quality officials out of the Football League? And could that then diminish the quality of officials lower down? Because suddenly we've got to have an extra official on all the Premier League games.
Yeah, it's a valid question. What I would say is, are we satisfied with the quality of the officials anyway?
Are we?
Well, let's bring in some new ones then. I think, look, it's an opportunity, isn't it, to blood some youngsters maybe, to give other officials a chance, those up-and-comers, so to speak. And personally, I would like there to be specialist VAR officials at one point or another, because having sat there in that seat with the red and green buttons and the earpiece,
it's frightening.
It's not easy.
No.
Communication is really important. And I think, actually, that you need to have designated teams there, people that work together every week, like the same three or four people, because time is of the essence and you need to be on the same wavelength. I don't want to see too much chopping and changing there. So look, hopefully we can develop our own VAR officials. I've got a few in mind that I don't like to see in the middle of the pitch that we can stick upstairs and we go from there.
It does and has given me respect, more respect for the officials.
Definitely.
And I think they should do a film of what they're having to go through and what they're having to listen to, which I know I've seen a few of them, and then the abuse that sometimes they get from players as well. And you will all have a renewed respect for officials at whatever level of the game. Anyway, that aside, I just thought it's an opportunity to get some more officials in throughout the Football League. Richard asks, and thank you, we've had lots of conversations via social media this week. Richard asks, Sunderland are in desperate need of a left back, he says a left wing back, if we're going to persevere with this formation. Any standout left backs, either not playing higher up, lower down, that you think we should target? Also, how much pressure do you think Jack Ross is under? He's certainly been backed. Is it too early to put Jack Ross under pressure? Is he under pressure anyway? And is that off the back of what happened last season? And did anyone watch the Oxford 1-1 and think, this is poor?
Yeah, I watched it actually. I was treated to that and I was treated to Bradford-Cambridge 0-0 as well. So it wasn't a thrilling live action that I watched on Saturday. But it was weird because it actually took me a long part of the game to work out what system they were playing. And sometimes that can be a good thing. But Embleton has come back from Grimsby and he seemed to be playing kind of in the hole behind the two strikers. There was talk of McNulty playing more withdrawn. He was certainly up there with Grigg. And it looked an issue. I think you just need to look at the personnel in the back three. They had a full-back playing in the back three. Hume on one side and Gooch on the other. So they're not people that you would associate with those roles, really. So I think it's a little bit of an issue. You can understand why the Sunderland supporters are thinking that they haven't really got the personnel to play the 3-5-2.
And when you're a year in, you should have those sorts of issues sorted.
It was more the manner of the performance, that it was slow and they didn't go and build on getting that equaliser in the second half. Didn't create anything for Grigg. McNulty was brightish, but they have to improve. And he's going to be under pressure. 6-7 games, if they don't get the results, then, you know, there could be a change there.
There could be. I still think he did enough in that first season to warrant longer. I think they'd be fine. I really do. They had a few newcomers, probably nervous, playing in front of that big crowd, just playing it safe a little bit. I know they were fortunate to get a point, Sunderland. But remember, they've got McGeady, who came off the bench. He'll go into the hole, won't he? Mm. Give him a free roll, and suddenly Sunderland are a whole different kettle of fish. You've got the pace of Watmore to come back in. I think Max Power is getting up to fitness. Mm. There are more bodies to come into the side. I think they're going to be fine.
You're listening to the Totally Football League Show in association with William Hill.
Right, we start as we mean to go on, completely wrong on all our predictions. Does anyone want to disassociate themselves from the predictions they made in the Championship? We predicted the automatic promotion on the show last week, but Cardiff and Fulham then duly lost to Wigan and Barnsley. And Wigan, I think we said horrible things about, and they're doing all right. Bielsa Bonanza at Elland Road, they beat Bristol City 3-1. Currently, alphabetically, top of the Championship. Bristol City also won't be kicking the ball out of play if they go down. Lee Johnson's saying, we just decided as a club that we're going to make a rule for the 46 games that we're going to let the referee manage the game. Play to the whistle. And the biggest news of all, in the words of Martha Kellner, from DC to DC, it's Wayne Rooney, but only from January. Let's start at Derby then. Monday night football coming back. 2-1 win for the Rams. How did we assess Derby pre-Wayne Rooney era?
Well, I thought it was a really good performance. I'd still be a bit concerned as to whether either Huddersfield or Derby are going to threaten certainly automatic promotion, but playoffs as well, I think, is a bit of a long shot for both of those two clubs, in my opinion. I think they're short in a number of areas, but what we did see was a magnificent individual performance from Tom Lawrence, who for spells last year, I know both of us enjoyed his performances, the way that he could turn defence into attack really quickly because he carries the ball so beautifully. And he scored two magnificent goals.
Back into Lawrence. Oh, that is absolutely magnificent! The move was pretty good. The finish was something else.
And in the second half, different type of performance. Dogged and aided really well by Clark, who came in and had there was a couple of really good centre-halves performances in the division. Matt Clark, right up there. I thought he was exquisite on his debut. So a great performance, but I think still both those clubs, Huddersfield as well, are short in the final third. I think they're going to lack creativity and not get enough goals as they are at the moment.
Yeah, I'm not saying I disagree. I would be slightly more optimistic on both counts, just because they have got quality players. Mm. Both sets of teams there. Huddersfield, you know, you've got Aaron Moy in there. I think Carlin Grant will come good. I think he's the best striker they've got.
I think it's a big expectation
Pritchard
on his shoulders.
There is, yeah. And they need a bit more around him, maybe. Elphick obviously didn't get off to a good start at the back for them. And Derby have got match winners. We saw that with Lawrence, Rooney to come. I thought it was a good debut from Cocu, tactically. I think you look at it, he went with 4-2-3-1, I think, at the start. But then he kind of evolved the system as the game went on. He just tweaked it as he saw fit. It was 4-3-3 at one point. Then in possession, you had someone dropping back to make a back three. It was like a 3-4-3. And then the second half, they tightened up. They went narrow and sort of set up a good block. So I thought that Cocu come out of that debut really well.
Yeah, Cocu, and the fact that clearly the players have listened to him. You're right. And the ability to switch, because it's all down to them. You can tell them as much as you like, but that actually...
Well, it shows there's a lot of work being done on the training ground already.
Yeah, and that it's worked. Huddersfield, that unwanted... We are going to talk about Wayne Rooney TM, who replaces Frank Lampard TM in a bit. But Huddersfield, that unwanted hat-trick of former Premier League teams losing for the first time after their relegation, still, as you say, short. I'm not sure. I've had a look around about what more we can expect from them in the next couple of days before the window closes.
Right, you talk about the sack race. Or you didn't talk about the sack race, but I will. Jan Sievert's got to be under all sorts of pressure, hasn't he? He needs to probably win at least three of the next five games. If they don't win, if they win one of the next five or six, I think he might be out, because it was so poor, wasn't it, in the Premier League? They didn't score any goals. So they would be expecting a lot more from Huddersfield, the board anyway.
But you're right. It's what's been communicated to him, what's expected of him.
Well, it's a new chairman, isn't it? Yeah. A new chairman, we all know what they like. They like to make statements, don't they, and get their own people in. So we'll have to wait and see. I just look at him and I'm not sure that it's a dynamic that's going to work for them in the long term.
Do you wish to comment? No. Good. Let's talk about Wayne Rooney then. Obviously, what's going to happen now is the fact they're going to be on telly every week. Wayne Ruby's TM Derby County. Are we impressed by it? Are we of the Derby County Fan Alliance that now they are odds on to go and win the title? It's the best thing that could ever happen. How can we, little old Derby, bring in Wayne Rooney, or are we not really that impressed?
Well, it's really exciting for everyone, especially the people at the club. I've got no doubts that he'll come into a dressing room, onto the training ground, and be a brilliant professional. I think he's the best talent we've
had. How would you react?
I'd love it. Absolutely love it. I think he's the most talented player we've had for 20 years, by a mile. And I think he'll come in and have that same attitude that he had as a 17-year-old. So he'll be a great influence around the place. Whether he'll get in the team or not, that's a completely different question.
And are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious. Yeah, deadly serious, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've been watching him and I've heard people that have played in the MLS, British players that have been in the MLS the last few seasons, and say that it's similar to the Championship in standard. Yeah, there are players that arguably could play in the Premier League, like Almiron, who's gone to Newcastle, for example. But there's players in MLS teams that wouldn't get in League One teams or maybe struggle in the bottom tier. So it's so different, the standard over there. So
it does go against their policy as well, or the perceived policy of bringing the younger players through.
Yeah, but I think Koku, we heard from the guy last week, and I'm not too sure that that's going to be exactly the way he goes. I think he favours a bit more experience. But yeah, with Rooney, I'm not sure. I'm not sure he'll be able to come in and have a great effect in the Championship. Of course, he'll still be liable to produce moments of magic. But if they're motoring and Koku's got a system and has got a front player in particular who's doing the business for him, you know, to bring someone in January and immediately put him in the team could have a destabling effect on the side.
Interesting. Yeah, well, look, you watch a lot more of the MLS than I do, so yeah, I'll take your word for it. You look at the stats, you know, he scores 1 and 2, doesn't he? He's been making goals. The question for me would be, where did Derby play him? I would say, don't play him deep line playmaker, because anyone can do that. They've got Huddleston to do that. He can ping a ball. Get Rooney in and around the final third where he can make decisive impacts for the team. I wouldn't, you know, I'd just give him that free role probably in the number 10 position and hope that when they get the chances, he retains that clinical edge. I haven't seen some of the goals he scored over there. To me, he still looks like he's got plenty in his locker.
Wayne Rooney, has that changed anything with Derby?
Well, coupled with Derby's win on Monday night, the odds have come in quite considerably. They were 6-1 to get promoted at the start of the season. Their odds have come in. They came in to 11-2 after the win on Monday night. They're now 9-2 on the back of the Wayne Rooney news. So it certainly had a positive impact on the Derby County betting.
Coming up, we're going to hear from Richie Wellens, who's been grilled within an inch of his life by Sam Parkin, and also Andy Holt, the Accrington Stanley boss, as in owner and chairman, is going to come on to and talk all things Bury. But Wednesday is the new Tuesday, so let's have a look ahead to the weekend. Let's not make any predictions, but pick out a few of the tasty ones of what's coming up. Sheffield Wednesday Barnsley's caught your eye, Sam Parkin.
Yeah, well, I just think two outstanding results to start the season. Sheffield Wednesday, obviously winning at Reading. Harris, by all accounts, a free signing from Cardiff was outstanding. Led Andy Yeardham a merry dance at right back. And on the other side, Odubajo and Adam Reach developed a really nice understanding. So without a manager, that's still up in the air. Lee Bullen's had the gig before, and I think previously they beat Nottingham Forest 3-0 in his first game, so he's not reading in anything into that victory at the Majeski. But a Yorkshire derby against a team which I might have got right, that Barnsley could do quite well this season. I thought they were phenomenal. I thought they could have been 2 or 3 up against Fulham. Two outstanding debuts from the central defenders up against Mitrovic. Thomas getting the goal, who was really wasteful if you think back to last season at Coventry. Some big games towards the end of the season. His end product was really lacking. So to get a goal on his debut for Barnsley, really encouraging. And Wilkes on the other side was the best player.
Yeah, I can't argue Barnsley. I think I tipped them to go down or be near. I tipped them to be near the bottom anyway. But yeah, no, they were really impressive. Young players were brilliant, weren't they? And the centre-halves, like you say, the two newbies, I think they're both 21, Anderson and Diaby. Outstanding. The fullback's good. So, yeah, Malik Wilkes was the one that stood out to me looking at the highlights of the game. He looks more powerful, doesn't he? It looks like he's filled out a bit over the summer, Malik Wilkes. He could turn out to be one of the stars of the championship if he keeps that up.
You fellas always do that, don't you? I always remember at school that the lads that you never looked at, I mean, height-wise, because obviously I was always 6'1", so I never... But after the summer holidays, they'd come back and they'd be 6'3", having been 5'2".
I was the opposite. I was this big when I was 13. Were you? Just stopped.
I thought you were saying, I came out this big, and then it ended.
Well, I wasn't this fat.
Yeah. I'm saying nothing. Kiefer Moore, is that done for Barnsley, heading off to Wigan?
That was a weird one. That is a head-scratcher, isn't it? Because...
Shows no ambition. I think not from him, but I mean...
They are a rival. Aren't they? They have to be considered a rival.
Them go.
Yeah, I mean, for me, Kiefer Moore isn't just a target man. He's not just a big lump. So some people might say, oh, Barnsley are not going to play that way. But I don't think that he was all about booting it up to him anyway. I think he's the kind of striker that can do a bit of everything. So I don't know. I think it's a big loss for them.
There was a period, the back end of last season, when he missed a number of games after that head injury. And they weren't that impressive, Barnsley, but they kind of found a way. And so that makes me think that they'll probably be active in the transfer market and try and bring someone else in. The other point is Kiefer Moore is unproven at championship level. So it's still a gamble. Another championship club taking him and expecting him to score the goals because he's not established in the second tier.
England C.
Yeah.
Sorry. What?
I just saw on the way in this morning that... Sheffield Wednesday are in for Mas Luongo, and it looks like it might go through today, which would be a brilliant signing.
Yeah, well, again, and how that changes things for them. Sheffield Wednesday, Barnsley then. You're right to pick that one out. West Brom, Millwall, not least because West Brom won the goals of the weekend.
Phillips. Oh, it's come in! No one was expecting that, least of all Aaron Murich. Absolutely extraordinary.
Bilic, are we impressed first time out?
Well, Albion fans are impressed, aren't they? I think they love him. But if managers have a bit of charisma about them, I think it goes a long way. It sounds really shallow, but football supporters are quite simple creatures. And I think that the Albion fans, on the back of a few managers that they weren't too pleased with, they really want to love Bilic. Yeah. And I think there's a lot to like about him.
Buys you more time. It always buys
definitely.
You more time. Not that he, you know, he needs to buy more time.
What I like about Bilic is that he is a very good organiser of teams. He will make them solid, but he won't do it at the sacrifice of attacking flair. He's got a nice middle ground, I'd say, from a tactical perspective. And we saw that in the game against Nottingham Forest. Love the fact that he gave the two kids a game. Caleb was on the left and Ferguson at right back, and they didn't let him down. I thought they looked much better than I thought they would, the Baggies, considering how many changes there were. And I really like the central midfield axis there of Sawyers and Livermore. And I actually think that's the thing to look out for in this game, West Brom against Millwall. Two really good engine rooms. So you got those two for the Baggies, and then for Millwall, Sean Williams and Ben Thompson. I think they've got the makings of being a really good combo for Millwall this season.
I don't know about Millwall. As in, we all sat here last week and said, Joe, you can underline the fact that we're all pathetic again in our predictions in a minute, and if that's changed. But that 1-0 win over Preston North End, Neil Harris has a habit of just pulling out results to annoy everyone, I think.
Well, he's not doing it to annoy people.
No.
I don't think we're going to see a ridiculous upturn this season.
I'm not predicting promotion or anything. I just think that's a good unit. It's a good start.
Yeah, you only have to look at the signings, I think, that they've brought in, and some good established championship players in Smith and Bielkowski in goal, Bedvarsson as well. But yeah, I don't think there's going to be a great change in their season. I think they'll do well to stay in the division. On the game at the weekend, they had a lot of success packing the midfield last season. And you know, normally they're a 4-4-2, but at times he did play the 4-5-1. So the option to maybe bring Leonard back into the side and have O'Brien or Ben Thompson, who's been great since he's gone back breaking, to join in with the lone striker, could be a way to get a result at the Hawthorns. But we didn't really touch on it last week. I think West Brom, the business that they've done, is exciting business. It's young players and it's a different kind of model this season, the likes of Sawyers and Furlong, who was kept out by the other young player at the weekend. So I'm excited by their business. Whether it'll be enough to propel them into the top two might be a tough ask.
Talk of Dwight Gayle going back, isn't there? According to reports, they're in with Leeds. They both want him. So look, if they get Gayle, that's a game changer. For me, they are still light at centre forward, West Brom. That's if they don't bring in another striker, I'd say as good as they were, they won't go up. So they definitely need another forward.
If you're Dwight Gayle, both you'd want to play under, wouldn't you? I mean, you know what you're going to get from Bielsa, as in he's going to work you hard. But Bilic too, he's one of those managers that I would like to play for. That's a difficult.
Has he been linked with Leeds, has he?
Yeah,
I think probably West Brom. I know he's been there before, but I don't know if Leeds would be a great fit. He looks... I think he likes...
He'd be there. Kemar Roofe is gone, of course.
He likes his players to be versatile, I think, Marcelo Bielsa. And, you know, I wouldn't be too surprised if some players like Harrison have a go, maybe playing as a number nine. Obviously, Bamford's not an out-and-out target man. Roofe, certainly not. So I'd be surprised, because Dwight Gayle is a sniffer, he's a finisher. Maybe to go back to the Hawthorns would be a slightly better fit. Not saying that Leeds couldn't do with a bit of help in that department, though.
Neil Harris afterwards said, correct me if I'm wrong, but I can't remember my goalkeeper making a save after Millwall's win over Preston North End, which is a point you'll now know, Sam, as someone that goes and interviews managers regularly. You've now got to remember all the stats before you go in and do them post-match.
Is there any point in me telling Caroline that I interviewed managers for about 2 years prior to getting this gig?
I'm saying for this show, Sam. For this show.
Don't need to be touchy about it.
Clearly.
You only sound like that, wasn't
clearly,
it?
Clearly there are other shows, right?
Clearly we've all had life. The desk here.
No. Clearly we've all had life before the Totally Football Show. Clearly we have. But it's not life worth talking about, is it?
Caroline just dissed you?
Fine. Joe Criddy, has anything changed as a result of the results that we didn't expect at the weekend?
Yes. At the bottom of the table, Charlton, who were clear favourites to go down, are now joint favourites with Reading, who slipped into the top three in the relegation betting. So Charlton and Reading both 9-4. Barnsley out to 3-1. Hull 100-30. Luton moving away as well, with Millwall 7-2. So quite a lot of movement after that first weekend.
And those two key games that we picked out, West Brom, Millwall, Sheffield Wednesday, Barnsley. Who's the likely winners out of that?
Well, West Brom, as you would expect, are odds on to win against Millwall. And Sheffield Wednesday, Barnsley. Sheffield Wednesday, a shade above even money at 5-4 to get the win. Barnsley, 23-10 in the draw, the same price.
You are listening to the Totally Football League Show. League One next. The new season is underway, which means the EFL highlights on Quest are also ready to be viewed, including our very own Sam Parkin. He's been a journalist before. Sam, what's it like being on TV? Or should I not ask you that one? You can watch them on Quest and Quest OD. Quest is the home of EFL highlights on free TV, and you can find them at Freeview Channel 12, Freesat 167, Sky 144, Virgin 217, or just go online and watch Quest OD. .co.uk. Do that and you could be watching this weekend's football instead of Top of the Pops rerun or whatever else is on at that time. Ah, the joys of TV on demand. This season we'll be working with Quest, bringing you some special in-depth features on some of the best games of the season. You love it, we love it, so watch it on Quest. Freeview Channel 12, Freesat 167, Sky 144, Virgin 217 or online at questod.co.uk. League One then, and we start where we started the show, with Bury. Another week not on the pitch after their match with Accrington Stanley was called off on Friday, not knowing where this will end up. One person who can give us some insight though, Andy Holt, the Accrington chairman, this weekend then supposed to play Bury. That's not happening, but the fans are playing each other. Andy tweeted a photo of 10 years ago in September, when Bury put the bucket round for Stanley. And now this weekend, they're hoping to return the favour.
Well, it's worse now than it was 10 years ago. As I've said many times, the funding formula makes it worse. But, you know, by guarantee. So I expect it's worse now, and I expect it to keep getting worse without any changes to the way football's set up. You know, I'd expect this to become more prevalent rather than less as things stand.
So what would you change? What needs to happen?
Well, the problem is when a lot of the football formula for financial distributions and financial setup was set up many years ago, you know, when there wasn't a lot of money and there weren't a lot of worry whether it was 5% wrong or 10% wrong either way, because it were on small numbers. And by applying a formula consistently over many years, what you've done is build big gaps between leagues and between clubs, and that's what's created effectively people gambling on the getting to the next league and going for broke. So you've got clubs that are going for broke, you know, where like Notts County, where through his own business going under, he's lost his ability to fund the club. But had he not overspent at Notts County, then there wouldn't have been an issue. You've got clubs going to broke that are owned by billionaires, and they can do. And then you've got those that are trying to run sustainably. But the tension with running one sustainably is that you're effectively going backwards. So as a club owner, you're in a trap, really.
Would you scrap the test, the fit and proper persons test?
I would, yeah. I'd scrap it forthwith. I think it's a disaster. The fit and proper persons test. It's a bit like me saying test breathalysing you tomorrow morning and expecting to not be on the beer tomorrow night driving your car from back home from a party. You know, so you can't, it doesn't predict any future behaviour. It doesn't control any future behaviour. So there's absolutely no point in it. It should just be cursory checks. Then after that, there has to be other things that govern how people operate. And at minute, the EFL buys all the problems by doing what they're doing. They're effectively a gatekeeper on new owners by using this test, this fit and proper test. But the truth is, no test is going to test for what the future holds.
Would you stick a bond down at the start of every season? So if this is your wage structure for the season, would you make clubs stump that up at the start to guarantee they can get through the season?
I certainly wouldn't do it. So I certainly wouldn't stump it up. You know, I'm not paying for the future just because other people don't run the clubs properly. I cover Accrington's losses if need be, as and when. And we try not to make losses, obviously, because I'm covering them. But I certainly wouldn't put a bond down just because other clubs don't run the clubs right. Everybody knew about Bury. We've talked about it for years in football. You know, owners have talked about it for literally ever since I got involved in football. We've known the issues at Bury. Everybody knows about it. The EFL has the information because all contracts are lodged with them, so they know how much they know the turnover of the club. You've got to hand all that information in, so all the information is there. And where clubs are clearly overspending, the EFL has a duty to check where that income's coming from. You know, so asking me to put a bond in because somebody else is overspending just isn't going to work because I won't do it.
I know you're a busy man because you're running your football club and running it well, but we do love to talk to you. So just on that word disappear, do you think Bury will still be in the league at the end of the season? And how long do you think before other clubs will be in that similar situation? Will we end with the full complement of clubs at the end of the season?
I don't know is the answer. I'd like to think that we would. I don't know. I do know that Bury won't disappear. You know, Bury will regroup, you know, just like Notts County didn't disappear. But it's a shame that they have to go through this sort of pain, that clubs and fan bases and communities have to go through this sort of pain. That really is paying for nothing because the overspending has got them nowhere. Bolton fans have a go at me all the time, but at the end of the day, they've lost hundreds of millions and they've ended up playing at Accrington. You know, they haven't lost anything. And we're a small budget. So the overspending, you could argue, doesn't really get them that far. You know, so all it does is create anguish. And I just think we need a limit on it. We need to say, look, to protect yourself, you can't go too mad. For me, if you either accept that clubs are going to go bust and let them do as they wish, or you put proper regulation in.
Andy Holt talking about dream chasers. The problem is, Sam, as fans, that's kind of why we watch football, isn't it? We all want to dream. So how do you stop someone coming in with a load of money, wanting to spend the money to go through? Is Andy right? Can you stop that?
Cool, that's a tough question for this time on a Wednesday morning. I don't know. I think the points I made last week have been echoed, you know, quite a lot this week in terms of there needs to be something in place, you know, to make sure that the individuals are looked at thoroughly before they come in charge, but also the clubs finances, You know, that needs to be more transparent from the off. And I don't know how you keep a close eye across that.
Throughout. Yeah, I think you should be sent independent people, maybe on behalf of the EFL, should be going in, just making sure that the club's being run properly as you go, doing audits. I mean, businesses do it all the time. It's a par for the course, especially in the financial industry.
What do they do, though, if the auditors go in and they realise that something's wrong? All they're going to do is they're going to bring it forward.
Who knows?
I mean, the teams will still be in the same situation.
That's a complicated question and something they would need to look at. But I'm not saying you have to. I think you're pretty on a few strikes and then you're out. I don't know how it works, but what's wrong with getting people to track how the business is operating as you go? Yeah. It's a real problem. This is League One, but in the Championship, we're seeing clubs sell their stadiums to fit into the financial fair play rules. That can't be right. That's not the way forward, is it? So something's got to change.
To have regular checks at the football club's finances, though, so it doesn't transpire, has to be the way forward, hand in hand with being more thorough on the individuals. The rulings that are in place now clearly aren't working, and I don't know what the reasoning is behind these businessmen taking over the clubs at times. I don't know if it's an ego thing. I don't know if it's to have clout in the local area. I don't know. It seems that some of these people are coming in and being negligent from the word go, really.
Yeah, you kind of don't mind if it is all of the above, as long as they're honest about it and say what it is and do something that's sustainable. We don't want football to be decided off the pitch, and that's kind of what's happening at the moment. So the quicker that's sorted out, the better. After the weekend, Fleetwood surprised top team. 3-1 win away to pre-season promotion contenders Peterborough. They joined Sunderland and Portsmouth as not winning in game week one. Wickham's blushes spared after they secured a 2-0 win over Bolton. A couple more injuries as well, Joe.
Yeah, sadly. Josh Earl, who was announced as having signed from Preston on loan until January, about an hour before the kickoff, he went off after 14 minutes. So that, I mean, he's a young lad. He's only 20, I think, 21. But he was being considered one of the senior pros that was in that team. So he's out for, I think, up to 12 weeks with a knee injury. But I thought the Bolton players gave a very good account of themselves. And, I mean, Wickham, they celebrated that victory on the streets of Wickham, I imagine, on Saturday evening. But I think only winning 2-0 was a bit of an indictment on their prospects for this season.
You just had to underline it, didn't you? Right, this weekend, Ipswich Sunderland, 20 years ago, this was Derby in the Premier League. Incredible.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. No, it's two big guns. It's promotion six-pointer, isn't it? Ipswich Sunderland. I mean, can you have that in the second game of the season? It feels like it. I think both will be up there. Ipswich, I think, was a good start, wasn't it, for them?
Yeah, they played very well. It had to be dogged at times. They had to be stubborn. But Burton didn't create a great deal after, you know, being quite free-scoring at times last season. A lot of good front players. But, no, there were some really good individual performances from the Ipswich
Downs
lads.
Was good, wasn't he?
He was brilliant. Yeah. He ran the game first half. Wolfenden, central defender, who probably looked like he wasn't going to be first choice, was outstanding. And our man Norwood, without getting a goal, just love his energy. I love the way that he's narky, gets under people's skin. Should have scored maybe second half, but him and Jackson hold up play very, very good and just looked completely different to the type of stuff that they churned out last season. So
it was
really encouraging.
1-0 win at Burton Albion. As a striker, that when you walk off the pitch and think, all right, I've done enough for my team, because you're right, it's all the stuff he's doing off the ball, creating space, allowing others to flourish. Did you ever really give yourself any pat on the back for that? Or was it all about
you'd like to be told by the rest of the lads or the manager, that's enough in the dressing room. Someone looks at you and goes, it's just a look sometimes. But if you've not scored, then that's really nice if they appreciate the hard work that goes in. And you'd have to ask Norwood or Jackson if they go 3, 4, 5 games without a goal and they're still getting the victories if they're content. But Saturday, they'd have gone home on the coach and they'd have felt good about things because they were really good strikers' performances.
Yeah, I do like the balance of the team that he's putting together, Paul Lambert, because you've got the experienced players like Sears and Chambers and Norwood and Judge, and then with all these kids. And there's some really good kids. Downs isn't the only good one. Dazelle, obviously, I remember his dad,
Jason,
playing as a 16-year-old at Portman Road when I was a junior blue back in the day. So no, it's good to see him involved. And yeah, they've got some good players. So So that's a really exciting fixture, I think, in League One this weekend. I think there'd be a great atmosphere. And it's actually, for these kids at Ipswich, going down is the best thing that could have happened because they actually will get a game now.
You just take me right back to a memory of, I think it was the East Anglian Daily Times. They always used to do little pen picks, like top trumps on the back of the paper. And I'm sure Jason Dizel was always always on the back. And I always thought,
Great player to watch back in the day. Yeah. So it's great to see the family tradition continuing.
And it's working. They've sold over 20,000 for the Ipswich Sunderland game. They took 1,700 to Burton Albion as well. So that at least is how quickly you can change things around.
I was going to say the goalie's 6'9".
Yeah.
I mean, what's that about? I mean,
he's had a good 6 weeks holiday as well.
although he almost got caught out for a goal, didn't he, dawdling on the ball. But interesting acquisition.
I think they were together at the end of last season, the supporters and Paul Lambert. And obviously he's made a bit of noise towards the tail end of last week that he needs help in the transfer market. So I think travelling up to Burton, they would have been a little bit pessimistic about what was to come. But to get that performance against a good Burton side who will be challenging for playoffs, you would say, it would certainly in the top half, I think that's a great result for them. And they'll be really looking forward to it. They've got some players to come back. Completely different test against Sunderland. But yeah, and I'm really optimistic that they could have a good season with these young players and the nice balance that they seem to have.
Sunderland, another draw. What odds on that? Maybe I'll come to you on that, Joe, in just a minute. Rotherham, Lincoln, one of the games you picked out for the weekend, Sam.
Yeah, I just think two teams that are going to be up there. Two teams that had very good victories at the weekend. Quite comfortable, I think, as well. We spoke about Lincoln having Grant now and Payne. And are they going to be playing, you know, complete opposite football to that direct stuff, you know, at times that's got them out of the National League and League Two? I think we can emphatically say yes, because with the centre forward they've got now as well in Walker, you can't afford to be too direct. And it looks like when the ball gets turned over, they're going to move the ball very quickly. They've got people that can manipulate it and play through a deep line defence. So all the noises coming out of the Lincoln support is that this is a team that's evolving year after year. Really encouraging, comfortable victory over Exeter.
That's a sign of a good manager, isn't it?
Yeah.
A sign of an intelligent manager, because he has not set in stone. He hasn't got one way of playing. He had a way to get them to where they've got, and he's bright enough to realise that's got a ceiling.
And I wouldn't have seen that coming, would you?
No, not necessarily, no. But it's clever, because he's saying, OK, that worked to get us here. If we want to go higher... And me and my brother do want to go higher, by the way. We're going to have to do things differently. And the players they've brought in have got more quality, more pace. And interestingly, he's kept the same back four, really, hasn't he? So he knows what works at the back. It's on the ball. He knows they need something different in League One, which is smart.
Danny Cowley said, I'm hoping to get 50 points, then I'll reevaluate our objectives for the season from that point. He's calming everyone down, and not least that will help the players as well in the dressing room.
It will do, and he always plays it with a straight bat. And I never played against his teams, but I know a lot of friends of mine, ex-teammates that have played non-league, League Two, the last few seasons. And, you know, I just wouldn't have envisaged this happening, because I hear the stories, you know, they're very vocal on the touchline, they're quite in your face. And I just anticipated that being their way and then being set in stone. So, as Adrian said, you have to credit them enormously to saying, do you know what, we're going to recruit differently and play a slightly different way. And if they can carry it off, there'll be some huge clubs.
Still score from a corner.
Yeah, but there'll be some huge clubs in for them in the second tier. This weekend, however, you may see a Rotherham side who are a little bit more back to front.
Yeah.
Because Paul Warne's been talking about it. Well, they were last season, of course, because needs must when you're playing against clubs that have got better resources than you. But this year, they're top heavy. They've got really good options in the striker department. They've got good midfield players. So he's changed from that, was it 4-5-1 probably the most part of last season, to a 4-3-3 to accommodate these new players. Ladapo, Smith, Vassell, Carlton Morris, who did well at Shrewsbury a few years ago. There's loads of options there.
McDonald in midfield is a good player.
Yeah, and obviously Ladapo, 500 grand. Not sure we're all completely taken by him. We wanted to see what he could do this second season after what he did at Plymouth. Goal on his debut. So I think both of those two teams, no doubt, are going to be in and around the mix-up.
Yeah, another player that Chelmsford City let go without a contract. Anyway, first chance to see Milton Keynes just briefly after their blank weekend because of all that's happened with Bury. Quick word on them. How will that help? Will it have helped.
I think they thrashed a non-league team, didn't they? Yeah. In a friendly, yeah, not ideal. All I can say on MK Dons is I quite like the look of the business they've done. I don't know what you think, Sam. Obviously, he's gone with some players he knows, like Hiram Boateng from Exeter, but he was one of Exeter's better players.
Yeah.
Joe Mason from Wolves, plenty of experience. Jordan Bowery caught my eye last year in a pretty average crew team, so that might be smart. Regan Paul, who was at Newport, wasn't he? Centre half slash right back from Manchester United. Ben Reeves has gone back, so Reece Healy signed on. So I think that their business has been really good, and I would place them as for sure being top half material.
Shrewsbury this weekend. Hmm. Right then, Joe Crilly. Ipswich Sunderland, I asked you for odds on, is that going to be a draw? Rotherham, Lincoln, and has anything changed when we look at promotion?
Okay, so the draw, Ipswich Sunderland is 23-10, so just above 2-1. Ipswich 17-10 and Sunderland 13-8. Rotherham odds on to defeat Lincoln on Saturday 19-20. Lincoln 14-5 and the draw 5-2. So if we kind of move to the top of the table, Sunderland still favourites to go to win the league, favourites for promotion. It's pretty much as you were. Lincoln have shortened a little bit after their win, but Sunderland, Pompey, Ipswich, Rotherham, Peterborough occupy the top five spots there. Relegation, Bolton, you may remember last week I was quite surprised that they were around about even money to get relegated. They are now 1-5 to go down as the takeover talk drags its heels. Accrington, 3-1, third favourites to go down. Obviously, Bury, their favourites there. And Wickham, despite their stunning 2-0 victory over Bolton's under-23s, 100-30 to go down, fourth favourites.
Apart from that little dig at the end, what I'm taking from all of that is that Sunderland fans, Roker report as well, I was reading some of their tweets talking about it being reminiscent of last season's form, about it being disjointed, what's got to be done to change their fortunes as well. For the moment, the bookies at least are not blinking. League One done, on to League Two.
Can I also just add that despite my little dig there, Wickham have been brilliant. The club and the fans towards Bolton Wanderers this last week, both before and after the game. So many, many thanks and appreciations their way.
On Spotify, smart speaker and podcast platforms everywhere, this is the Totally Football League Show from Muddy Knees Media.
League Two then, and there was a rhyme that producer Abby has written, but just so that I prove that I'm not beholden to the producer, I'm not going to read it. I'm not going to read your rhyme. League Two, where the sky is blue, but not where you'll find the Sky Blues. That's why I didn't read it. Ryan Lowe then, continuing where he left off with Plymouth Argyle, getting off to a winning start. 3-0 away at Crewe. Salford and Leighton Orient with wins to Brisbane Road. The winning goal was scored by Josh Wright. He was the last player signed by Justin Edinburgh. There were loads of moments during that game where both sets of fans have to be applauded. They certainly were remembering Justin Edinburgh, and that's going a long way, I know, to helping the family at the moment. Elsewhere in relegation favourites, Sol Campbell's Macclesfield, I'm still not buying that, and Oldham both lost. They're the big stories then that already happened. The best, though, is yet to come. Sam Parkin has been enjoying the leasing.com trophy. You caught up with Swindon boss Richie Wellens.
It's looking relatively strong already, the squad, but what positions would you like to maybe add one or two?
I'd still like two, three now, but I'm obviously aware that I need to get two or three out. So if that is two or three out, then I would probably like four in. But we all know at this level, the money dictates everything. So I would imagine a lot depends on what we can get out.
Does it make it easier now that the Premier League's about to get underway and the bigger clubs in the country, if you like, know who's going to be in their 18 pretty much going forward?
Yeah, it does, but I'd like Championship players who aren't getting in their squad. I'd like Top League One players who aren't getting in their squad. So the window goes on for too long. It just kills us, because the players on the peripheral of League One teams at the top or the Championship team, they've got that 2 or 3 weeks extra where they're not quite playing. They go, well, I'll hang on. If there's an injury, if there's someone who hasn't scored in the first 3 or 4 games or played well in the first 3 or 4 games, then I might get me chance. Whereas if the window just stopped August the 3rd for everyone, the Premier League clubs will go, we need to get him out. And it's going to be the same decisions. It just allows clubs to make, the players especially, that prolonged 2 or 3 weeks just to make an extra decision. We're trying to get a striker in now, and at the moment he's saying, you know, I might get in. If I get an injury here, I might get in. So we have to wait for that decision. I prefer that every club in the country should be 3rd of August is when the season starts, so just end the window then.
You've been a manager for a while now, obviously, at Oldham and here as well. I was reading some stuff about Leeds United, and Marcel Bielsa likes to have a small squad, yeah, and work with some younger players maybe in and around that first team group. Is that something that you would prefer, so you can keep all the players on side in essence, and you haven't, yeah, got that five or six that are got the long faces around the training ground?
I don't mind that, because I try and treat everybody the same. It's just that financially, last year we had 30 players, so let's get rid of 10 and use their wages to put a little bit more on the players that we bring in. So we might pay a little bit extra than what we want, but if we keep the squad smaller, then the budget is still the same. I think we've got a lot better quality this year than we had last year. So yeah, where we're at, I would probably like 16, 17 first team players, and then three or four kids just to top the squad up. We've always got the loan market, of course, but yeah, I probably agree with Bielsa. I think at top Premier League clubs, and you've got 50, 60 million to spend, and you've got players who are not quite starting with 100 grand a week, it softens the blow, doesn't it? So yeah, I would probably say that a squad of 20 outfield players and two keepers, that's including four young lads, would probably be appropriate.
And just finally, I think from the outside looking in, League 2 looks like the toughest division to call. I think there's seven or eight teams you could make a case for. Who would you say are going to be the ones you need to finish above?
I think Plymouth, because they've got 50% of a team that got relegated from League 1 and 50% of a team that got promoted from League 2 last year. So he's not too much. You know, we've brought in 10 players, and 10 players are for all different levels, different clubs. Whereas Ryan's been quite shrewd. He's brought six or seven players in from Bury, so they'll know each other, so it won't take him as much time to settle in, proving League 2 players. And then he's got 50% of his squad what are remaining from League 1, who have previously won League 2 with Plymouth. So if you offered me finishing a point above Plymouth, I'd take that now. I think Bradford will be strong. I think Salford will be strong. Exeter will be strong. Northampton. Scunny. I think Scunny will go on a run once Paul Hurst gets his players in. Yeah, it's difficult, but if you offered me now to finish a season or finish a point above Plymouth, I'd probably take it.
Richie, then, talking about transfers, transfer window going on perhaps a bit too long, squad size and the likes. Do we all have a feeling, given that we're hurtling towards the transfer window, on how it's working out, whether it's right, whether the change is good, whether we're just not bothered?
I like it, personally. Just, I'd like to know your team early on in the season. I like the way the Premier League have done it. That wouldn't make sense, I guess, for the EFL to go a week earlier, because it could put them at a disadvantage. So no, I think as far as it is, managers know, don't they? You've got plenty of time. You've got all summer to get your squad together.
Good. That means we can quickly rattle through the fixtures. Port Vale, Northampton, the new owners in at Port Vale. I'm not sure if you saw the Times describe Carol Shanahan as female Jesus. He's also claimed the players were fed leftover pies sometimes under Norman Smurthwaite. I know a lot of Norman Smurthwaite through non-league football in particular. People have strong views on him. 1-1 in the first outing of the season against Colchester. Respectable.
You know what they should have been fed?
What?
Oatcakes.
Hey! But that means you can handily listen back to some of our previous podcasts.
What is a leftover pie? Is it a half-eaten one, or is it one that just didn't get picked up by the
I always have this
punters?
Discussion about Kit Kats, because Kit Kats, the middle of a Kit Kat, is crushed up Kit Kats, right? So what came first? The chicken or the pie? Oh, sorry.
As long as it's not half-eaten.
Maybe
what's the big
half
deal?
Eaten.
Just going back to when I sampled the oatcakes, there was such a miserable atmosphere around Port Vale when I was there last season. Yeah, they lost, I think it was against Swindon, 1-0. But, you know, when you go down at half-time and the moans and groans and the way it had become under the previous owner was terrible. So it's great to see some optimism, Carol and Kevin Shanahan.
Why is she the female Jesus?
I just think because she's given hope after such a horrible previous regime. So, yeah, everyone's really enjoying it. There's been the hashtag New Era doing the rounds at the club. And people have been a bit sceptical about the new signings, but she's been saying, I'm buying, promising players to make them stars in the future rather than buying the finished article. So, yeah, good start for them. 1-1. The biggest topic in terms of the personnel style of play is whether the manager's going to go for two strikers, someone to help Tom Pope out, and he rubbished it after the game and said systems rubbish, you know, it's about attitude, and it's about players being versatile within the system that he chooses. So that's something to keep an eye on before the Northampton game, whether he changes playing one up top. But
what stage does that change? At what league does it change, and the attitudes, or does it? I just found it interesting when you were talking about Danny Cowley and how he's adapted to work with different players the higher up.
Well, you always
gone.
Have to do the basics. You always have to get that right. Mm. So you look at City in the Premier League, and they work so hard, don't they? They do all the dirty work properly. It doesn't change. So
apart from, can I just laugh at the fact I went to watch a National South game at the weekend, and we tried to do a City from the goal kick, you know, build up at the
back.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Didn't work. Yeah. Anyway,
in terms of that, yeah, I think it become the basics become much more important the lower down the pyramid you go. You should only do the odd bit of tricks and flicks. But no, I thought it was a cracking result for Port Vale. Love the way they won the penalty. It was like a press, and they nicked the ball in a good area. If they continue in that vein, I think they have a much better season, Port Vale.
The 1-1 with Colchester against Northampton, tricky, because do we know will the real Northampton stand up? The changes that they've made, again, how long they've got to take to bed in.
Yeah, and they'll be disappointed after that opening day defeat. They got the big target man, Harry Smith, who, yeah, after a bit of an indifferent time at Swindon, really found his form at Macclesfield last season. So he's going to be important for them. I think for Port Vale, it's still going to be goals that are going to be the problem. Mm. I think defensively, when John Askey went in there last season, he really got them defensively sound, changed the system at times as well. So I don't see it being a really high-scoring affair, and I think Northampton potentially could get something out of that game.
Yeah, I think they've got good characters. I think the players they brought in, the senior guys, McCormack, who's injured, I think, now. Chris Lyons is another one. So yeah, they won't be bad for long, in my opinion. I think they're another team that will enjoy a better campaign.
Northampton, by the way, it was a 1-0 defeat to Walsall, if you haven't seen those results from the weekend. Swindon Carlisle, Adrian, this is one that you've picked up.
Yeah, I just think it's two big clubs in League Two that will have fairly lofty ambitions, and I think they both did really well on the opening day. I love the goals that Swindon scored on the counter-attack. They've got some real quickies, haven't they, that can sort of travel upfield at pace. Great finish from Jerry Yates, the loanee, in the game at Scunthorpe, which was one of the results of the weekend, I think, wasn't it, for Swindon at Scunthorpe? Has to be. Isgrove is a good player for them. And Carlisle, 7 new signings. And I thought that they were good against a Crawley team that I don't think any of us really fancy. But Carlisle have got some youngsters. I feel quite optimistic about Carlisle. And they're the kind of club, if they get on a roll and the punters start coming through the gates again, they can be a real force in League Two. I remember playing there years ago when they had Matt Janssen and Rory Delap. And it was rammed. It was like, I don't know, 10,000 or something. Main stand was full, where they all stand on the side there. It's a pretty intimidating place. I also went there on loan once, extremely unsuccessful loan spell, and it was like a ghost town. It was just empty. So I think that they're the sort of club that can go two ways. When it's on a bad roll, it can go the other way. So I hope, I feel quite optimistic that Presley will get them going, and they'll fly this year.
It was a 2-1 win over Crawley. I want to ask you about your loan spell, but I don't know that we've...
Not much to know, really.
How long was it?
Brief. Weeks.
Was it?
Yeah.
It's just never... You've got to go in for a decent length of time, haven't you? Unless it's a keeper emergency.
Yeah, the manager that brought me in got displaced, got overthrown, basically, by the coach midway through my loan spell.
For bringing you in.
Pretty much, yeah.
That's reason enough.
And said coach didn't like me, and we may have had a row.
A quick word on the fans at Swindon. Richie Wellens, we didn't hear in that interview, but he was effervescing about the fans and what's happening at Swindon.
Yeah, just trying to get better fan engagement, really. There's going to be a fan park, I think, this season. Trying to get the supporters to turn up earlier, enjoy the experience, have a better experience of a match day, because the home form was problematic last season. It's probably what cost them, and especially the games against the clubs in the lower reaches of the division. So I'm not getting carried away after one outstanding away performance. And speaking, you know, away from the microphone last night, he was quick to play down this counter-attacking football and say they look at every fixture and they look at the opposition and they play accordingly, and they're going to have different ways of playing, because teams coming to Swindon, because of the size of the club at that level and the size of the support, some teams will sit in especially the ones that are desperate for points. So it'll be about being a little bit cuter and being able to play through teams, or maybe being able to play a little bit direct to a striker. And I'm optimistic that Richie Wellens is the right man. They needed continuity. He's making all the right noises. Hopefully, you know, they can do the business at the weekend. But Carlisle, I think you missed a trick there. Lofty ambitions. Mm. They've got a centre forward called Loft. And he's a target man, which I think is nearly as good as Crouch.
Maybe you were just playing it under the radar, weren't you?
Yeah, he was on the bench, wasn't he? I was just saving that one up.
He came on and done very well, by all accounts. So he was there last night, actually, Stephen Presley. I'm not sure what he'd have gained from attending a EFL Trophy game on a Tuesday night. But he was there, so he was doing his scouting.
I did notice that Crawley had 20 shots against Carlisle, so maybe they're a little bit open. So that's something to look out for. They might be an entertaining side this year, Carlisle.
Joe of the Crilly, Swindon Carlisle then.
Swindon. They are odds on to beat Carlisle at home, 10 to 11. Carlisle 29 to 10, and the draw 13 to 5 this weekend.
What about Swindon going and winning everything?
Winning everything. The domestic travel. Swindon they're in and amongst the betting for promotion. They're not amongst the favourites. Salford, after their win at the weekend, have moved ahead of Bradford in the favourite stakes to go up. But Swindon are ninth in the list. Decent shout for a playoff spot.
And Port Vale, Northampton?
Port Vale are 31-20, Northampton 7-4, and the draw 9-4.
Thank you, everyone that's been in touch this week. Dr. Rob Croughton, or Croton, apologies, Rob. Dr. Rob says, is it time for the Championship and higher tier League One academies to be protected against big clubs cherry picking? West Brom are scaling back because of Barry and Rodgers moving to Barca and Man United. Ferguson got man of the match on his senior debut against Forest. Strange stroke worrying picture, says Dr. Rob. Anyone else?
It's not great, is it? But the cherry picking, because of the rules that are in place, it can happen to anyone really. I'm not comfortable with it, but you also see young players from Premier League clubs get poached away as well. It's just kind of the way it's gone.
You want to blood those players, you want to bring them through, and that's going to be the quality throughout.
And I think the best way to hang on to your best young players is to actually use them in the first team. Have role models that these kids can aspire to, so that when a bit other club comes knocking, they think, actually, I'm going to stick around here because this club is going to give me a game.
Which rolls us all the way back to Derby signing Wayne Rooney. Joe, Sam, Adrian, thank you. If you want to keep the conversation going, sadly, this 4.5 hour long podcast was not long enough for all the conversation, then do get in touch with us on social media. Thank you to all of you. Enjoy your week. We'll be back with you next week on Wednesday with plenty more besides. Bye for now.
You've been listening to the Totally Football League Show, a Muddy Knees Media production. For sales and advertising, please email sales@muddyneesmedia.com. Keep up to date with everything across our Totally Football network at The Totally Show on Twitter. And make sure you check out our brand new website too, thetotallyfootballshow.com.